Speak from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come this morning, Lord, thanking you for so many great blessings, Lord. We thank you for the rain that you give us, Lord. It's been so dry. And Lord, we thank you for the spiritual rain in this last days. And Lord, even among our little group here, Lord, how you've blessed us and give us revelation, Lord. Give us of the spiritual food in this last days. And Lord, we rejoice in that. We thank you that you have a bride around the world, Lord, in every nation and every tongue that's receiving, feeding upon the body word of the Son of Man. And Lord, we know that we're in a minority and we're okay with that, Lord. Just to know that we're walking with you, we give you thanks and praise and glory. And Lord, we ask you would be with each one this morning, those that are here, those that are not able, Lord, that your blessings would be upon them. And Lord, that you would just guide us, give us words to speak, Lord. You know our heart, you know our need. And Lord, we don't know as a man, Lord, but you can give us words in the moment and the hour that we have need of. Lord, that time is here. So we ask these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see you, each one. And we're happy to be here. And we appreciate the Lord for his mercy and grace. And now I guess I've had a real vacation here. So I'll say again, I appreciate the brothers, Brother Goomba and Brother Michael, taking the services. And I told Michael back here a while ago, I don't know if it's easier or harder when you take a break. You know, you think, oh, well, you'll get all rested and refreshed and built up. And I thought, it's still an ongoing battle, always. And I can only put it to one thing. The prophet said, all hail is against this revelation. All hail is against it. And all hail has been against it in every age. Yes, sir. Because God has been revealing himself in every age. Right. And Brother Goomba was preaching not too long ago, I think even before I left, but he was talking about the coming, gathering, that God is gathering. And that's what he's been doing. All the way, he's been gathering. He was gathering Abraham. He called him out of a place. He was calling him out. He was gathering him to himself for this great walk. He gathered Israel. He gathered Moses. He gathered the prophets, every one of them. He always was calling and bringing them unto himself. And it just, so what's happened now is we're in the climax of it. We're in the climax of what God had in his mind and what God intended to accomplish. And so it was building and building, and it was types and shadows and a beautiful thing. When you look back through the scripture, it's just astounding to see what God has done and to see how that it typed so perfectly with Christ and with this day. And so now, I've titled this message this morning, The Gift, but I might kind of, While I was in Canada, I was reading and studying, and this I got to thinking about what Brother Branham said when he was talking about the gift that he had. And he said, he continually told the people, he said, "Now, this is not me." He said, "I can't do it. I can't control it." People would come to him and want him to do something or tell him something or reveal something. And he said, "I can't do that. Did you think this was my gift? Did you think this I was in control of this?" He said, "No." He said, "My gift is getting myself out of the way. Getting myself out of the way." And he said, "When I can get myself out of the way, then he can come in and he can do whatever he wants." And so that was the thing that struck me and got me on this thought. And then this is always, you know, the word is always bigger than you think. You're just going to take this one direction. And we know that the gift and the gifts, when I started to go into the search, the first thing I did, and I do this a lot of times, so I put in gift. And I just start at the back. In other words, instead of starting in the 50s or the 40s, I start in 1965 and go backwards. And so I get the good stuff first. It's all good stuff, and there's good stuff back there. But I start there. And the very first quote that I read was, "The real gift is your soul." Right. That was the very first quote that I got when I went to this. And that's not what I was after, but that quote always stirs our hearts when we read it. But one of the things that got me is when Brother Branham was talking about the gift was getting himself out of the way. And he talked about that a lot of different ways. He preached a message one time called Perfect Strength and Perfect Weakness. And he was bringing how that the more that we can lose our own thinking, the more that we can get rid of our own ideas, and the more that we can realize how insufficient that we are. Yes, he said, that's actually an advantage. It's actually an advantage for God, because then when we don't feel like we can do anything, and that's why so many of the men that God called, they didn't feel worthy and they didn't want to do it. They made excuses and told God, "I can't do this." And Brother Branham said, that's exactly what God wanted. Right. He wanted somebody who couldn't do it. And as soon as somebody tried to do it, like Moses. Yes. Moses, he got all that training, he got all built up, and he had all of that, and he'd been longing for those people. He forsook all of Egypt and all of the throne and all of the wealth and all that he had, all the ease of life. He forsook that for the right reason. He wanted God. He wanted to know God. And he was giving himself. And in his zeal, he went out there and he killed an Egyptian. Just think. And Brother Branham said that's all of that 40 years of training got him, was one dead Egyptian. And it didn't do anything for God. What it did for Moses was send him on the backside of the desert so God could spend another 40 years getting all of it out of him.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's pretty powerful when you think about it.
Yes, sir.
Especially when there was another prophet came along named Paul thousands of years later and said the same thing. He said, "I count it all as dung."
Yep.
All of his training, all of his learning. Remember now, the scripture says that Paul exceeded his teachers.
Yes.
So that would have made him the master of the Jews' religion on the earth in that time.
Yes.
That would have made him the master, the greatest teacher. He exceeded his own teachers.
Right.
And so he was the greatest. And he counted all of that learning as dung.
Yes,
because he got the revelation. And when you get the revelation, you know you can't do it.
That's right.
And that's the reason why, and I believe it is so real to us, in this little group, that there's no decision you're going to make that you're going to do it on your own.
Right.
And as soon as we think that, we're going away from God.
Right.
As soon as we think we're going to help God because we did this or we did that. No, Brother Branham said, when you get out of the way,
yes,
when we get out of the way, when we realize we're insufficient, And trust me, I know I am. I know that I am. And I know every one of us say the same thing, but I feel like the least. I feel like the least. I admire other ministers, and even out, just not right here, but even out. And I've thought about this thing back through the years. And one of the things that I'm not fast like some people. Some people have sharp minds and they're so fast. And you start talking to them and they're just like this, boom, boom. And that's not me. they ask me a question and before I can get a sentence out, they have three more questions. Because their mind is so fast. My mind's not fast. I'm slow. And I never had the best memory, and now I'm getting old and it's getting worse. And so I watch people, and there's actually been times that people I've seen that I think are 100 times smarter than I am. And I actually felt sorry for them because it actually becomes a hindrance to them in the revelation. In the revelation, our intellect actually hinders us. When we think because they're struggling to believe this thing. They're struggling to see this thing. And their intellect is not letting them do it because they want to get every T crossed and every I dotted and every little thing got to be just right. Like they come and told Brother Branham, said, "We're never going to get it, Brother Branham, until we get every word, word for word, according to the Greek." Brother Branham said, "You know better than that." He said they couldn't agree on that back then. He said back there when it was just a couple hundred years, he said at the Nicaea Council, they argued all of those things. They were struggling then. Now it's been thousands more years. Right. It's not going to happen. Right. It's not going to happen. God sent a voice.
Yes, sir. That's
right. And that voice was His voice. Mm-hmm. And God is the interpreter of His word.
That's right.
And the only way it's ever been. And God said it in Genesis, and that is, it's a revelation.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, that is becomes more real. And more real and more real, the more you grow in this message, in this revelation.
Yes,
that you realize that you're not going to study it, which a studying is good. And it really helps you and enlightens you. And it gives you opportunity for God to reveal.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah, if you don't spend no time in the Word, what's God going to do for you?
Right.
God's got to see some interest. That's right. That's what He wants. And the thing is, the real thing is, there ain't going to be none unless He puts it there. Because you're not going to come, you're not going to be interested unless He draws you. That's just the Bible. That's what Jesus said. Everyone says they believe Jesus. Well, that's what He said. You cannot come unless He draws you. Cain couldn't come. No matter how much God told him what to do, he couldn't come.
Right.
Now, I want to read in Hebrews 11, and this, I'm just going to do the best I can this morning, and I'm depending on the Lord to give me something to say. I got plenty of quotes, but as we get into this, I could have just took that one service on that, getting yourself out of the way, but I want to spend, there's just hundreds of avenues you can go on this thought. Because we know, and we don't deal with the gifts of the Spirit. We don't talk about that much anymore because we're not seeking that. Because we have the giver of the gifts.
Right.
So what do we need when we have the perfect word?
Right.
What do we need to go and speak in tongues and then somebody tried to interpret that? You have the perfect word.
Amen.
If people could believe that. If people could recognize that we have the fullness of God in our midst today,
yes, sir.
That you're not seeking that thing. But there's gifts, and God promised to pour those gifts out in the last days, in the seventh church age, and He did. And He fulfilled that, and it happened. And then He promised that He would send gifts in the ages. And He did that. And He did that in the Old Testament. He would raise up a prophet. And that would be a gift to the age.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Branham talked about that. And every time one comes, they always have to clear up all the confusion. Just like the tongues, when everybody was speaking in tongues and going this way and that way. Brother Branham said, I've seen devils do it. They're impersonators. It's not genuine. But God has a real. God has a real. And so the same when he sends a gift on the earth. When he sends a prophet, that's a gift. And Brother Branham, he had to clarify this seer prophet from these gifts of prophets and these minor prophets. Because he said, there's only one of these. There's only one of these to the age. I was going to bring that quote and I couldn't find it. But it's just the wording. He words it a certain way and I just couldn't get it out. But anyways, he said there was one gift to the age. And Brother, God sent a gift. He sent a gift. Jesus Christ was the gift. You could spend lots of time on that. He was the gift of God that was given to the world. And he is the gift. He's the one. That's the one gift. He's all of it together. But I want to start, and I meant to pull the scripture in Genesis, because I wanted to start there. And I don't know if we could do that right quick. I'm not even sure if I remember exactly where that is, but I wanted to compare that. And I think it's around Genesis 3 or 4. Do you remember that? That's at when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice. And Adam knew his wife. Is that Genesis 4? 4:4. Okay. All right, let me just read this out of the scripture here. I'll just start at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she said, she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. Now, think of that. The Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering, right? But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Upon thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now also, then, you know, he kills his brother, okay? So the scripture is saying here that God had respect for what Abel did. Now, let's read it in the New Testament and we find a lot of things, and this was striking to me, the difference here of how the wording is in Hebrews, and it reminded me of what Brother Single had shared with Brother Goomba some time back and shared with us, that how that in the Old Testament, when the imposters came before Moses, their names weren't called. But then, thousands of years later, Paul calls them by name. Yes, Paul is calling them by name, but not in the Old Testament. And so here, the people of that day, how did they know? Was it just common knowledge? Or was it a revelation to Paul? Or what was it? But it was made known during that time. And people believe it now easily. They say, yeah, it was Jannes and Jambres, which stood Moses there. They were Pharaoh's guys. So, but God did the same thing today in so many ways through our prophet. He interpreted things that was not known. And that makes this message and makes the Bible more real and more great and more beautiful for those that can believe. Now, it only means something for those that can believe. So let's read in Hebrews 11. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, those are powerful words that was being spoken there, and so powerful when you think that the world was framed by the word of God. And Brother Branham said, and how? God just spoke his word. And Brother Branham said, how could it just be? And he said, an astounding thing to me. It's always been astounding. He said, and God believed his own word. He just said it, and he believed it was going to happen. Nobody went out there and mixed up something and put this together and put that. There was nothing to put together. There was no 16 elements of the earth. There was no nothing. He just spoke it into existence. How could it be? How could it be? God is too big for this little puny mind. This is too big for this. Yeah. And then at the same time, we're constantly trying to figure out or make a way or add to it or take away from it or do something. That's the works of Satan. Listen to this. This is where he gets it right here. Verse 4. By faith, what's faith mean? Revelation. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So, as Brother TB told me one time, our elder used to be here. He said, Cain had an excellent sacrifice. He said, that's what it says. Abel had a more excellent sacrifice. Cain's was excellent. And actually, on the carnal, it was beautiful because it wasn't bloody. Nobody had to die. It was the fruits and the flowers, and it was clean and it was nice, and it was something to be desired and something to admire. And Brother Branham brought us that revelation that Satan is in beauty. And God's not in beauty. The scripture said there was no beauty that we should desire him. No. You see where deception comes in there. And that's, Brother Branham said, that's what's wrong. Said that's what's wrong with a lot of times with beautiful women. They get that beauty and then Satan, they just become bait for Satan. See, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Huh? That what God respected now, he's bringing that up a notch higher now, that he was righteous because he believed the word of God. And this just always just stirs my heart, because he couldn't believe it unless God gave him the revelation.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And now he's righteous because God gave him this righteousness.
Yes, sir.
God gave him this revelation.
Right,
every bit of it was given by God. And so that's the same place that we're at today.
Yes, sir.
It's the same place. And you look, one of the last things Brother Branham preached was true justification. That was one of the last things, that you have no sin, that you never sin. There's no sin.
Right.
Now, he started talking about it when the seals was being revealed.
Yes,
yeah, you look in the seal book. It's in there. He started talking about it right there. But he nailed it when he got to invisible union. Yes. He nails it down. Huh? And that's where every one of us have to stand.
Amen.
Justified in the sight of God as though we never did it. He said, if you did it, he said, you can be forgiven, but you did it. See, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. It was God that was doing this. God was testifying. This is now, here's the very first one coming forth with the revelation, with his gift. Abel was bringing his gift to God, and God's testifying of his gifts. And the only thing that he had was the revelation that God gave him. And the revelation that God gave him produced this bloody lamb. And it, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh, see? And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Because God, who? God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There with Abel, God was testifying. Here, he's testifying. God is testifying. The gifts of God are always testifying of the presence of God and the promises of God. They're testifying. That's what they're to do. That's what they're for. See? For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God. What was it? It was a revelation. And the revelation was testifying of the gifts of God. It was testifying that God was going to do something, and God was delivering his children. And so Noah would be in the same position that Abel was. He was righteous. And his righteousness was not his own, but it was because God gave him the revelation. That God revealed himself to him. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Huh? Right. Praise be to God. I love that. And became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He didn't know where he was going, but God called him to just come. And by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Praise God. Both of them, both Abraham and Sarah, what did they do? How did they start that? They both laughed. Abraham laughed the first time he heard it. Sarah laughed when she heard it. And both of them counted him worthy. Both of them received the revelation. Yes. And before you receive that revelation, you can't believe it. Right. You can't. You cannot accept it. You cannot know who he is. And that's the thing we must know. We must know who he is. Yes, Brother Branham said, you cannot get to first base until you first know who he is. He said that. He said that. That's what he was talking about, the Godhead. He said the revelation of the Godhead in the Church Ages book. And he said, you can't get to first base if you don't know who he is. If you think he's two gods or three gods or whatever you think he is. Even if you think he's one like your finger. No, you got to know who he is. It's a revelation. This is in the message, it shall be even as it was told me. Amen. Looking around over the city and seeing the conditions, walking in the city, many of the people, this gift. Now, this is way back. This is in 1950. And Brother Branham said, this gift is a pioneering. And it must go into the places. See, it must bring forth. There will be people who will follow me in here. Gospel ministers and so forth with revivals. Now, Brother Van said that the gift that God gave him started a revival that went around the world and raised up many men. Some of them genuine. Brother Branham talked about Oral Roberts and talked about his faith. And he talked about Jack Coe. He said, there was never another. He said, there couldn't have been two Jack Coes. That he'd never seen such a man of faith. What their revelation was, I don't know. But he talked about their faith of healing and those things. And so, just saying what he said. But there was revivals that went around the world. And it started in the early 1900s. And we know what happened in the 1800s under Wesley. The great missionary age going out, going around the world. And then those men were really, I always admire that because they were paying such a price. But if they was going to cross the ocean, they're going to be gone a couple years. Not like they're going to be gone a couple weeks or a couple months or something like that. They traveled and it was hard travel. They were being led of the Spirit, called of God to this service. It's only in this last days that everything's so easy and so put before us. It's amazing. And it's amazing how that everything's so easy. And there's more complaining today than there's ever been. There's more whining than there's ever been. I'm not picking on you sisters, but when you go to these other countries, and I know you say, well, we're not there, we don't have that, I know, but you watch them bend over and wash their clothes for hours at a time, and hours. In India, you watch them. And they beat them on a rock because it's so dirty all day long. Dust is everywhere all day long. Their clothes are getting filthy every day. We got to really work hard to pick up the dirt that they're picking up. And I know that it's more than just mashing a button. But it's still a pretty easy task. It's still a pretty easy task. Compared to what it was. And a lot of them, they carried all of that to the river, or they carried the water from the river all the way back home to do that work. Now we carry a basket through the house and sort it out and throw it in there and put some soap and mash the button. And it's still work. I know that. I'm not taking away from it, please. And I got somebody doing it for me. I'm not even doing it. Okay? But it's the age and it's the time that we live in. And it's so hard to, even to walk. When we see other countries, that was one thing man was made for. He was made to walk. And that's what they did for thousands of years now. And now it's hard. It's hard to walk across the street. It's like, well, I'll drive over there. And it's just different. It's just different today. Well, let me get off on that. Okay, where were we at here? Okay. But first, before we can get the people, there's got to be a godly demonstration of something to pull the people, to let them recognize that it is the truth. That's right. There's got to be something that's going to pull the people. Now, that's exactly what happened. And it was phenomena. It was supernatural. It was something that when it began, and some of the first things that happened, of course, was the healings. And when the prophet was baptizing in 1933, and the angel of the Lord spoke and said, the pillar of fire came and spoke, and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you will pack a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. That happened in this day. God was getting the attention of the people. God was speaking. God was giving that message out to gather the people unto himself, to reveal that this is the time that the scripture said would come in the last days and that these things would take place. That's why this message is so important, is because this was the hour they were looking for. They've been looking for thousands of years, and people just shrugging it off. Why were they shrugging it off? Because it wasn't time yet, and because they had no revelation of it. But when the time came, then God sent his Spirit to stir the hearts of the people and to make them long for it. The man said, that's what happened every time. He said, that's what happened when the children of Israel were down there in Egypt. He said, they begin to long to be free, to go back home, to do these things. And when God builds that fire, then you begin to cry out for it. Amen. And we think, well, that's me. I'm doing it. No, that's God. God's doing it. He builds that fire in you and makes you want it. Amen. And then you go after it. And then he just keeps revealing it and revealing it and revealing it. It gets greater and greater and greater.
Yes, sir.
Now notice now the meetings are glorious and wonderful. And I love you all. Gifts must be confirmed. Anyone can say anything they wish to. They can have impressions. But when God really sends something, he will vindicate that to be the truth. See? God will speak it. The Bible said in Hebrews, God testifying of his gifts. See? And God testifying, then you got God's testimony. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what we have. That's what they had. That's what we have.
Yes, sir.
What God promised today. Because God is testifying of it.
Yes, sir.
And he's doing it. And if we jump out there a little ways, we can look back and see right there in Genesis where God was testifying of his gifts. And if we jump all the way to the end, it's his life in you.
Right.
It's his life in the believer today. God is testifying,
yes, sir,
that this message is real. That he has, what did Brother Adam say? That he has resurrected.
Amen.
Why? He's testifying that he's in you. He's testifying that he's alive. He's testifying that you and him are one. See? God's testifying, then you got God's testimony. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. You believe it? And when he comes to you, he will testify that it's there. He'll prove it. He'll vindicate it. See? All God's gifts testify. That's right. It isn't nothing that you try to make believe. That won't work. You got to be positive, see? Now, a confirmation of the presence of God is what he's here, is that he's here through the Word. And then he's here through gifts. He is. And notice how they work and how they are confirmed. Quickly. I shall hurry quickly now. Your faith is getting real high. I believe just about as high as I can see faith rise. The thing you need now is to let your faith loose. See? But what you're wondering is to get up here on the platform, seeing those people healed. See, if you'll just let your faith loose out there where you are, it'll be just the same where you are. It's your faith anyhow. See? It's your faith. And sometimes you know the people wanted to get close to it. You know the people wanted to touch him. You know they wanted that. But the gift did not heal nobody.
Right. Right.
Huh?
Right.
No gift can heal anybody.
Right.
No, the only thing the gift did was build your faith up,
right,
so you could believe what was written right there in plain black and white.
Right.
It's already written.
Yes, sir.
By his stripes you are healed.
Right.
It's already there. If we just believe it, take it word by word, just exactly what it says, we wouldn't need anybody to pray. We wouldn't need anything else.
Right.
Huh? It's already written. It's just believing.
Right.
But that faith is being built. And so you'll get a preacher up here and he's talking about it and God will anoint that and your faith comes up. And it comes up sometimes until you reach out and grab that. And that's what was happening to these people. They were walking up on the platform before the prophet, and they knew this was the gift of God. They knew this was the gift of God. And when they got in that presence of God, their face shot up, and they were able to take a hold of it. Sometimes when they walked off, they lost it. They couldn't, they couldn't maintain it. It'd go every kind of way. But the truth is, it's your faith. It's your faith, what God has given you. Amen. It wouldn't matter if every preacher here had the gift of healing. You're not going to get it until you believe the word.
That's right.
You're not going to be healed until you believe it's for you. You got to believe it's for you.
Amen.
Same for salvation. Same for anything else. It's your faith anyhow, see? It's your faith. Only faith is the only way you can get it from God. Anything, see? Your salvation, forgiveness, anything comes from God through faith. Believe it, accept it. That's right. Now, dropping down to the red there. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God. Is that right? Now, this is for the young people. There's some out there. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith, by revelation. And then when he comes into you, you understand it. See, you accept healing the same way. Stay right with it. That's right. Three kinds of believers. Now, I'm working my way to, he's going to talk some more about this Abel and God testifying to his gifts, and he does it right at the end, and he gets works his faith express, he gets the invisible union, he gets the rapture. I think there's another message in there, and we won't get it all, but that's where I'm headed to. This is just a little bit of a foundation. So, paragraph 167. Now look, God had testified. The Bible said, Hebrews the 4th chapter, or the 11th chapter, see, God testifying of his gift, that he was righteous. God vindicated his offering. God made proof that that was what he accepted. That was his word, his plan. And that's what he's doing in you. He's proving it. He's vindicating it in you, in your life. And he told Cain, do the same thing and live. But do you think he would? He would forfeit his idea? No, sir. He was an unbeliever. He could not forfeit his idea. So there was a gift that Cain didn't have.
Right.
And that gift was to get himself out of the way.
Right.
And that's a gift people don't have.
Right.
That's a gift the elect have, is getting themselves out of the way. And letting God have his way. And when you get out of the way, you're not doing anything.
Amen.
And Brother Branham said, if you can do one thing to merit salvation, he said, Christ died in vain. The whole plan of God is worthless.
Right.
It's in vain.
Right.
If you can do one thing. No, he did it all. He did it.
That's right. Amen. Right.
And he told Cain, said, do the same thing and live. But could he? No, he was an unbeliever and he walked right out. That's right. Cain did the same thing. Nimrod did the same thing. Unbelievers. He did not believe. Belshazzar did the same thing. See? The gift is getting out of the way. Works his faith express. Now a gift, just like I said last night, a gift is wonderful. But you can't base your eternal destination on gifts. You cannot major on a minor. A gift is a minor. And Satan, unless it's the gift, which is him. See the difference? That's right. This, when you talk about gifts, this is such a vast, vast subject that you're talking about a minor part of it and you're talking about eternal life. See, a gift is wonderful, but you can't base your eternal destination on gifts. You can't major on a minor, and a gift is a minor. And Satan can impersonate any gift that God's got. He can make something just exactly like it, see? Exactly. Therefore, we got to watch that.
That's right.
Now, we see that all through the Scripture. We see the impersonators in Moses' day, in Pharaoh's house. We've seen them along the way. We see them in the New Testament. We see them come right out. And we see them after Paul, even after Jesus has gone off the scene. We see them come and try to impersonate the disciples and the Paul. Sometimes I express about shouting. I've seen demons shout and speak in tongues. I've seen demons speak in tongues. Sure, he impersonates, but it isn't a genuine. It isn't the real thing. Oh, the other message I got here is anointed ones at the end time. And that where he really nails it. He really nails it down. And that was such a revelation that Brother Branham brought. And when he brought it, he went back to that visit that he made to Brother Sherritt. Is it Sherritt's farm? I think it was Brother Sherritt there in California, which was a citrus farm. And that citrus farm, they had taken a tree. When you come in the entrance there, the gate, they had taken an orange tree, a navel orange tree, and they had grafted in every kind of citrus fruit into that thing. And so there was grapefruits, and there was lemons, and there was limes, and there was tangerines, and there was just all, every kind of citrus fruit was in that tree. And so Brother Branham seen that, and he was just astounded. He was astounded. And he's like, what is this? What kind of tree is this? And he said, well, the tree itself is a navel orange. He said, it's an orange tree. And he said, well, how is this? He said, well, those, every one of those other fruits are grafted in there. And so Brother Branham was astounded. And he said, so you mean they're everyone living off the life? They're living off the life of the orange tree. They're living off the roots. And he said, yes, that's exactly right. And he said, so then the real revelation, it just, this thing built. And so Brother Branham asked him another question. He said, now next year, every one of those branches is going to bring forth oranges. And he said, no. Every one of them will bear what they are. Everyone has a nature. And that nature will bring forth whatever it is. If it's a nature of a lemon, it's going to bring forth a lemon.
Right.
And Brother Branham was astounded that this thing could go through a full cycle now. They go through the season and produce, and then let it, the leaves fall, go into the ground, and then come back in the resurrection, and every one of those branches was still going to maintain the nature that they were. And he said, no, they can only bring forth what they are. And he said, well, will the tree ever bring forth oranges again? He said, yes, if it's from the roots.
Right.
From the roots. Praise God. That's where it's got to be. That's the mind of God. That's the seed, the gene, the germ. That's it. That's why Brother Adam said the real gift is that soul down in there.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the eternal. That's the thing that you can't, it don't have any beginning and don't have any ending. That when Brother Michael brought his messages, that he nailed that down. And that's exactly right. There has to be something that had no beginning and no ending.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, that's it. That's it. He said, if you ever have faith, it's give to you. All right, let's back up. See? Now, 105, let's just start there. Now, faith is a revelation from God. And now, faith is a revelation. And now, one of the first places I've seen these statements is like this. And Brother Branham, and it's something that we think is so simple and that we've always known. And Brother Branham is bringing it like it's a new thing. And he does it in several messages in 1965. And he takes it in the rapture message. He takes it And he says it, and he repeats it, repeats it, repeats it, repeats it. And he's saying it like this. He said, now faith is a revelation. He's trying to get it to us. He's trying to make sure that we got it and understand it. It's a revelation. Because when he gets to the rapture message, he's telling us, he says, the rapture is a revelation. He's trying to get people to see. He's trying to get you into another realm of thinking. Getting you out of that old realm and getting you into a spiritual realm and understanding that it is a revelation. The rapture is a revelation. God revealing to you. See, that's where I want to stay just a moment. See, is a revelation. And he has revealed it to you by his grace. And it's nothing that you did. Nothing I can do, nothing you can do. It's by his grace. Amen. He has revealed it to you. See, it's you didn't work yourself up into faith. Huh? No. If you ever have it, if you ever have faith, it's given to you by the grace of God. Amen. And I love that. And I thank God because that, to me, that gets the weeds out of the way.
Yes,
when people are coming with these different revelations and complicating it and saying it's this way and it's that way and it's this way and it's that way, you cannot have it unless God give it to you.
That's right.
Period. You cannot have a revelation unless it's given to you by the grace of God.
Amen.
See, God reveals it to you. Therefore, faith is a revelation. And the whole church is built upon the revelation. See, a Baptist minister told me not long ago, he said, I just can't accept revelation. And I said, then you cannot accept the Bible. You cannot accept Christ because he is the revelation of God.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. He's God revealed in flesh. Therefore, the whole church is built upon divine revelation.
Yes, sir.
The whole church. Started in Genesis, ends in Revelations. Huh? It started by revelation, it will end by revelation.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, he said, who does men say, I the Son of Man am? And I know you've heard this 100 times. He's talking to his disciples, and some of them said, you're Elias, and some said, you're Moses, one of the prophets, and Jeremiah. You ought to go read that sometime. And it's quite astounding. Some even believe that it was John the Baptist resurrected. Isn't that something? And that's pretty astounding when you think about it. They believe, oh, you're Jeremiah, or you're Elijah, or you've John the Baptist come back. And you know, some of them didn't even believe in the resurrection. According to the scripture, some of them didn't even believe in resurrection. But some of them did, and it was almost like superstitious. He said, but then he changed the question now. He changed the question, and this is what makes it powerful, is because this is God's asking you the same question. And every believer faces the same question. Just as Peter got it straight from God, then the word of God, the message of the hour, is challenging you and asking you. God speaking through this message is asking you, who do you say that I am?
Amen. That's right.
In this hour. Not who do you say I was in Jesus' day. Not who do you say I was in Moses' day. Right. Not in Wesley's day or in the Pentecostal day. The message, the voice of God today is asking you, who am I?
Yes, sir.
Who am I?
That's right.
And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's right. Huh? Identifying who he is. That's right.
That's right.
That's the revelation. That's the revelation, is identifying who he is. Peter knew who he was.
Right.
It was settled. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Now the Roman Catholic Church says he was speaking to Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And so the Catholic Church believes, and you can see this, and I've seen the writings, and I've talked to Catholics, and them say the same thing, that they believe the church was built upon Peter. Well, this was a man that denied Christ three times, which we won't even leave it there. This was just a man.
Right.
Regardless, good or bad, this was a man. Why would he build the church on Peter when Jesus Christ was standing there?
That's right.
If he was going to build it upon a man, why wouldn't he build it on Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
But he wasn't doing that either. See, the Protestants said he was building it upon himself. Now, they could be right, see? But to me, both of them's wrong. It was upon the spiritual revelation of who he was.
Yeah,
and you read it. That's exactly what it says. Huh? He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed it.
Right.
And upon this rock, the rock of revelation, will I build my church.
Yes, sir.
It's a revelation.
Amen.
See? It was upon the spiritual revelation of who he was.
Right.
And it is today. Who is he in every age? In every age, who is he? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, the revelation of who he is. Upon the revelation, he is the Word.
Right.
Amen. See, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. It showed the gates of hell would be against it. That's right. Abel by faith. Revelation. No Bible written in those days. Is that right? Think now. And look at what we have today. Oh my. We have the whole Bible. The Old Testament. The New Testament. We have the whole message. And then we have the ability to take and search. To put in a word and search out every time that word was mentioned in the Bible. Every time that word was mentioned in the message. This, and I didn't know to last night, maybe I knew it, but I never used it. But last night I was searching some in the books that we have, the books Brother Ann talked about. And I was searching in Josephus and some of the things that he said. And it's the same as the message. You put a word in there and it'll go all the way through. And you can search any of those books just like you search the message. It's just astounding what we have. Abel didn't have it. He didn't even have a piece of paper. He didn't have a pencil. No, but he was walking in the revelation.
Right.
He was walking in the revelation of his day. Because
right.
God was revealing himself directly to him.
Yes, sir.
See, by faith, Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that which of Cain. See, which God testified he was righteous. How? By faith. How? By revelation. That's right. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field. It was the blood.
Yes,
he's seen what his brother had. He's seen what his brother did. And he knew it was wrong.
Right.
He did. He knew that it was wrong because he had the revelation. And that's why Brother Branham said the bride is the only ones today on the face of the earth who knows who's right and knows who's wrong.
That's right.
And the only way you know is by the revelation that God has gave you.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
It's not because you understand everything and you got the best speech and the best way to say it and the best memory and the best anything. No, you got it because God revealed to you what it is.
Yes, sir.
God revealed to you what the rapture is.
That's right.
You know you've been raptured out of the seventh church age into the bride age.
Right.
Brother Ram said there won't be another age.
Amen.
But you're caught out of that idea. You're caught out of that old revelation. That's right. And you're caught into Christ, the Word, the living Word. The rapture is a revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is.
Yep.
It's a revelation. That's what the Word of God teaches us.
Yes.
It just, the problem is man, theologians, have taught us, been trying to teach us for 2,000 years, an intellectual idea of what God was doing. But God was revealing himself in every age. He was revealing a little more and a little more. And so as he was revealing his word through those dark ages, and the seed went into the ground, the revelation went into the ground, then there began to be a resurrection. The word began to rise up. And God began to anoint his word, and they got a little bit in Luther's day. Justification by faith. And that was calling them. It was calling them to Christ. Okay, they only had a little bit, but it caught them out of that denomination. They were caught away into the presence of God,
yes,
into heavenly places for that day and for that hour. They were caught up out of those man-made churches and then come right up into Wesley's day. And they got a little bit more revelation. They got sanctification. And they begin to believe that. It would call them up higher into Christ. Call them up higher in the revelation. Higher in the Word. Higher into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Huh? Calling them out.
Right.
From those denominations. Huh? From that death. That is death.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ram said, God is not in a denomination. He's never been in a denomination. He never will be in a denomination. And when anybody thinks that there's life in those denominations, you're lost.
Yes, sir.
That's not my words. That's his words.
Right.
You say, well, I know some good people there. I do too. Good people. Sincere people.
Yep.
And if they are predestinated seed, God is going to pull them right out the same way he pulled you out.
Yes, sir.
That's right. He's going to quicken them and they're going to come out.
Right.
And they're going to be changed.
Yep.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's exactly what happens to every son and daughter of God when they're born again. They are quickened to life. The seed of God, the gene of God in there is quickened to life, and they are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They're no longer serving the devil. They no longer have the nature of the devil. They are serving God, and the life and nature of God is now living in them, and they're a different person, and it happened in the blink of an eye.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen, brother. That's right. Praise be to God.
Amen.
And you can't even fathom that that is true and real until it happens to you. And when it happens to you, you're just like, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home.
Amen.
This thing is so great, so wonderful, so powerful. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 2,000 years ago, those disciples, they see now the word of the prophets, all the prophets, their whole Old Testament, their whole Bible now is standing before them in the Son of God, the Messiah.
Right.
And they're looking around them and they're between two worlds. They're between two revelations. They're between two religions. They're between two different things. And one group, all of their leaders, all of their religion that they've been raised with, all that they ever knew, is against this manifestation of God in the Son of God. But in their heart, were they looking at this with the revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they had to stand on it because it was in them. They believed it because it was in them. That seed had been quickened to life. And they're looking around and they're seeing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians. Every one of them are rejecting him.
Yes, sir.
Their people are rejecting them. Some of their parents, their mother, their father, rejecting him.
Right.
And there it was. Every one of them were claiming to believe the Bible. Every one of them claiming to believe Moses, believe Noah, believe Jeremiah, believe Elijah, believe Elisha. Believe the Messiah was coming. But they couldn't recognize him standing before them.
That's right.
That's exactly what's happened today. God has come down in flesh, like He promised He would do, as it was in the days of Noah. God would come down in flesh and fellowship with His elected people. Yeah. And while the world is looking for nail-scarred hands, they're having communion with the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. They're in relationship with their husband. Because they've recognized that He's the Word. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And so now, for them, they're not looking for anybody, any physical body. They're looking for the Word. Because that's what God has revealed. God has revealed His Word. And God put His Spirit in them. And that is the teacher of the Word. And so when they hear the Word, they know. They know who He is.
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Think about it. Think about it. When you're looking at the bride, when you're looking at the bride, I'm not looking at that flesh, that flesh, that flesh, that flesh, that flesh, that flesh. That flesh. No. I'm looking at the Word.
Amen.
And I see Him. I see Him
yes.
in you. I see Him.
That's right.
Why? Because it's alive. It's always been alive. I remember when I was just a young man, I came to the message when I was 21. And when I come, I didn't know nothing, absolutely nothing. I wasn't raised with Bible teaching or Bible learning or going to church. I wasn't raised with it. So I didn't have any clue. And so when I would think of the Old Testament and I would think of the Jews and how that God was leading them and God was dealing with them and doing all the things, I was having a hard time figuring out how that these people were God's chosen people, and yet some of them was just, God would just use in a mighty way, and then some of them were just scoundrels and would actually kill them that was God was using. And I was trying to figure that out, and I'm thinking, okay, now this is a Jew, and he believes the law. He believes Moses. He believes all of these things, right? And so, and then God would raise up a prophet and condemn these things that some of they were doing. And so then they would kill him or do whatever they were going to do to him. And so it took me a long time. Like I said, I'm slow. It took me a long time. But I realized that back there before the Holy Ghost came, it was the same thing that it was after the Holy Ghost came. It was a life. It was a life. It was a seed.
Yes, sir.
It was God in some of them. And the ones that God wasn't in, He wasn't in.
That's right.
And it was even confusing to them. So Paul, when Paul came with the revelation for his day, he cleared it up. And even people need to get it cleared up today. Because Paul told him, he said, all Israel is not Israel.
Right.
Huh? You think all Israel saved? No. All Israel's not saved. The elect of God is saved of Israel. All of the bride, all these churches, all of these everyone that claims and believes the New Testament? No. Just those that He's living in. Just the predestinated seed, just those that can believe the day and the hour that they live in, what God is in their day.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice because it was revealed to him that it wasn't fruits of the field, it was blood. That's why some people can believe it and some people can't believe it. And some try to make believe it. That's right. In an audience of people where a prayer line comes through, you'll find, see, they're all good people. See, that's the thing. Never think, young people, never think that we're trying to say they're bad people. We're not. We are where we are by the grace of God. I did nothing to deserve this. I did nothing to know what I know, to be where I am. I did nothing. Nobody else, none of us, ministers, nobody, nothing we could do. It's the grace of God. And so many good, sincere people. Brother Branham said many times, those people out there outshine us with their good works and their life and the things that they do. They outshine us. See? And others, let's see. In an audience of people where the prayer line comes through, I'm sorry for repeating. See, they're all good people. And we'll say there's some that's trying hard to believe it. Trying to work themselves into it, see? And some just can't do it at all. And others, it's just by grace, see? It's just given to them, see? Now there's the difference, see? That does it, see? That's the real revelation. Because faith is a revelation. It must be revealed first. That's right, see? Nothing we could do. The always touches me when I read that. Because some people are trying. They're trying hard to get it. And they just can't get it. And other people, it's just given to them. Just on a platter. What's the difference? Him. It's Him. You were in Him before the foundation of the world. And He's just expressing Himself. And they have a purpose. Their purpose is just to make your life shine more. That's it. That the Word of God, just it makes it greater. It builds that character. It does many, many different things. And it's just serving God's purpose. You don't have any choice. They're just doing what God has placed them here to do. And that'll be it. And so we don't have any control over that. And we want to just praise God for His grace. That's all. Now, when we come to, if we get to that place, and you see this, it's a spirit, but it's Satan. You see that spirit that wants to come and say, oh, they're bad, they're evil, they're this. Those people are doing exactly what God put them here to do. The elect of God, you're doing exactly what God put you here to do. Don't judge that. Don't do anything with that. Just leave it. Leave it there and let God deal with it. That's what God wants. Jesus clearly expressed this when He said, no man can come to Me except My Father draws him first or reveals Me to him first. How do you like that interpretation? Let's read it again. No man can come to Me except My Father draws him. No man can come to Me except My Father reveals Me to him first. Yeah, no man's coming until He reveals, until He gives you revelation, till He makes Himself known. See, you ought to read that in St. John 6:44-46. They didn't know who He was. They thought He was just an ordinary man. That's right. And they didn't know who it was today. And those many of those men were right there with Him. They sat there right on the platform, and the prophet standing there preaching, and they watched Him call them out, tell them what their name was, tell them where they were from, tell them what was wrong with them, tell them things that happened in their childhood, revealed the secrets of their heart. They watched it over and over and over, perfect, tens of thousands of times, perfectly revealed. They were sitting there. They were sitting there when He said, God told Me to go to Tucson and stand on that mountain. And He said, seven angels are going to come down in the form of a pyramid. And they're going to give you the revelation of the seven seals. They're going to bring you back. They're going to tell you to come back here and reveal those seven seals. A year and 6 months before it happened. and it happened. And there's the book right there. There's the revelation right there in print. Think about it. You know any men like that? I don't know anybody like that. You never heard me say on such and that something's going to happen, God's going to do this and this and this. No, I'm just repeating what God already said. What God has already said. No, it's finished now.
Yes, sir.
It's done. There's not going to be another one.
That's right.
I know that it was here for a long time. I remember when I first went to Kenya and maybe even India, but I'm sure Brother Goomba knows, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it was a big thing. People were like, they were still in that idea, pray fast, pray fast. There's going to be a revival. We're looking for a revival. We want a revival. No, that's finished. Not going to be no more revivals. In the fourth seal, Brother Branham said, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. And then, in less than a year, is that right? It's recognizing your day in its message. I think that's right. I'm not positive the dates. Is that 64? Recognizing your day in its message? I think it might be. Or it might be even 63. Is it 65? Okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever it was, doesn't matter. Year and a half, whatever it was. But I don't think it was too long. In the fourth seal, Brother Branham said, the bride has not had a revival yet to awaken her. To awaken her, okay? I want you to think about that. Now remember, the prophet's been on the scene now for 30 years. Or whatever, however many years. And he's went around the world with the gift of healing. He went around the world. The dead's been raised. The blinded eyes have been opened. People have been healed. Cripples have been made to walk. Flesh has been created. Every kind of cancer has been cured. Everything that could be done, every kind of supernatural healing that could be done had been done. And had been going on. And a revival had went around the world by this time. Right? And so now, here, after all of those years and years and years of supernatural, now the prophet's saying, and that was a revival. That was a revival that went around the world. But now the prophet's saying, the bride hasn't had a revival to awaken her. Isn't that something? And then, how much longer? Huh? July. So, not much. That's just a year and a month, something. Year and 2 months, whatever it was. So now the prophet is saying, in recognizing your day in its message, he's saying now, he said, you know, Brother Jack Moore, he said, he's a lovely brother, a lovely family. The church there, we love them. We preach there for him every year. We go there and we go there. And he said, he's got the greatest Christian newspaper that there is, Herald of His Coming. And he said, in that Christian newspaper, said they won't hardly print anything except fast pray, fast pray. There's going to be a great awakening. There'll be a great revival. There'll be a great something, a great outpouring of the Spirit, great this, great that. And Brother Branham said, and even they were praying for God to send a prophet. They were praying for God to send a prophet. Is that right? And there he was standing there. And Brother Branham said, why do they do that? Why do they do that? He said, they fail to recognize the awakening.
That's right.
The awakening of the bride.
Yes, sir.
Huh? So in that year and 2 months, when the prophet said she hasn't, she's not awake yet. Now a year and 2 months later, after the seals have been revealed, and the word is opened up, the revelation's coming forth, the revelation's flowing, Now the prophet is declaring to the world or to the bride that she has been awakened.
That's right.
That's right. She's received her revival. And that revival was the word. That revival was the revelation of who he is today in this hour. Praise be to his name. It's the greatest thing that could happen. And they failed to recognize it. And they were actually, as the Jews were 2,000 years ago, they were killing the Messiah and praying for the Messiah to come, not knowing what they were doing. Here, they were rejecting the prophet and praying that God would send a prophet.
Right.
See, they thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. He was the prophet. He was an ordinary man. But there was more than that. That's right. See, just like last night, when you get to the book there, the two books of life, and he hits the two of them. Let's just jump on. You can read this later there. He's talking about the book, and one is the book of life, and one is the Lamb's book of life. And he said, some saying it's two books. He said it's one book. He said, but it's two parts of the same book. And he said, one's your natural life and one is your spiritual life. And he said, one your name can be taken off of, the other one your name can't be taken off of. So another revelation. Huh? Another revelation. Paragraph 122. Jesus said that no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me will come to me. See, no man can understand who he is or how it is except it be revealed to you by the revelation of God. And then faith in that, see, then faith in that, you act accordingly. That's what Abel did. God revealed it and he acted according to the revelation. See, here we see plainly that God is revealed in Jesus, and only those who were foreordained to see it will see it. See? That's right. Be sure to read the scripture now. I omitted it, St. John 6, 44, 46. I didn't think we'd have time, but notice, 123, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me, they will come. They'll recognize it, and no other man can do it. No other person, no matter how good, who you are, it's got to be revealed to you first. And then you see who Jesus Christ is. Think about that. Think about it. Young people, think about it. They were trying to recognize. If you put yourself in that day and in that hour, and here comes a man who looks like a nobody, no beauty that we should be drawn to him, no beauty, no education, no riches, no money, see, no theology, not identified with any one of the churches. Remember that now. Jesus was not identified with Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, Herodians, none of them. He was the black sheep. And then God sent a messenger to forerun him. And he was just as unlikely as Jesus himself. Is that right? No education, no money, nothing, no association with any of the churches.
Right.
We've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from it.
Yes,
I'm praying. I asked you to pray for that young man the other day. So I just started right immediately telling him about the prophet. And he asked me, he said, do you believe in Jesus? And I'm like, yeah, I believe in him. I believe in him. And I believe his prophets.
Right.
But see, as soon as you say something that's not in the realm of their denominational idea, they don't think you believe. And I sent him a Church Ages book, and he texted me and he thanked me, and he said, is this like the Bible? He said, it looks like something different. And I said, you're going to be astounded. I said, just read it. I said, you're going to be astounded at how many scriptures are in that book. You want to understand the book of Revelations? Let me tell you the starting place. You just jump right here. You jump right here in this book, and you are going to know more of this Bible than many theologians. That's right. You will understand. You will understand. That's right. It'll give you so much. It's not going to make you elect or not elect, but it will enlighten you in so many ways. So many ways. Okay. 124. See here, the predestinated plan is in plain view. We're still there. Works as faith expressed. Yeah, so we're going to just finish this one. I don't want to start in the rapture because I want to finish it when I start it. See, here, the predestinated plan is in plain view. Just as other seed, the Word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. If you sowed seed, just throw it out there on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. See, you throw it out amongst thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be ready first. And so you know that, and you know that you plant your gardens and all of that. And the different seed are planted different depths. There are some seeds that can be planted deeper than other seeds. There are some seeds you plant it too deep and it's not going to come. It's not going to make it up. You put them too close to the top and they don't have enough earth to do it. So it's different. There's not many seeds that you can throw out. He's talking about don't do that. But I think there are some, sometime your pea patch, I think sometime they can just throw peas out there and they'll come up. But the birds are going to get them still just the same as he's saying. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receiving in this age. And he foreknew you by his foreknowledge and he ordained you to eternal life. He knew you. Therefore, he prepared you. That's right. And so the ground had to be prepared. And so, and you know, I've made these statements before about some of the things that I went through, and it was bad. I went through a lot of bad things, and I was going to be rich, and I was going to do it illegally, all of those things. But let me say this. I've been thinking about it. I was thinking about some of the things that Brother Goomba went through when he was talking about he was considering suicide and different things that God had brought him through. And God, he brings us through those things. And it's the grace of God that we get through it. Yes. It's the grace. Brother Branham would have killed himself. Right. He would have killed himself. But when he touched the wires, they wouldn't do anything. He would have killed them boys. But when he shot the gun, it just went plink, plink, plink. Is that right?
Yep.
So, and so every one of you, I can remember Michael when he was small and some of the things that was going on. He was mom and dad sometime to the family. He was there. And not mom, because mom was there, but he had to step up. That's what I'm trying to say. He had to step up. And so it was hard on him. And every one of you can have a story like that. Every one of you have something that you went through. And so I wanted to say this to the young people when you, because it might seem like, well, you went through that and God delivered you. So I can go out there and get a taste of it and I can do it and God will deliver me too. Well, that's true, he might. But let me tell you something. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they had lived in Egypt. And their heart kept going back to Egypt. And so they kept complaining. God was trying to condition them. And God was trying to lead them. And God was trying to take them into a new thing. A new land, a new message, a new life. And they continually wanted to go back. And you know what God did? God let them die in the wilderness.
That's right.
Every one of them, except two. They died in the wilderness, and God, the Bible says, God raised up a new generation. Now, when there was nothing to deliver us from that life, then God did what was necessary. But now, many of you have the privilege to be raised in this revelation. And when you're in the presence of this revelation, when you're in the presence of God, don't go out there to tempt God. Don't go out there, because God has already placed you in position where He wants you to be.
Amen.
He separated you from that. He spared you from that. Don't be like them that God's going to have to do away with it, because they keep wanting to go back to it. What are you trying to? I'm trying to tell you that God has saved you from great temptation.
Yes, sir.
You're still going to be tempted. You're still going to have trials. You're still going to have troubles. You're going to have enough without going out there and tempting God.
Yes, sir.
Stay away from it.
Yes.
Run as far from it as you can get from it.
Amen.
And remember that they kept wanting to go back, and God just finished them out there.
That's right.
That's right. And they were everyone lost, eternally separated from God.
That's right.
Don't say, I'm going to go taste the world and then I'm going to come back.
No.
Whose thinking is that?
Amen. That's right.
Is that, you find that in the Word of God?
Yes,
it's not in there. No, that's here. Run from that.
Amen.
That's right. Run from that thing.
Amen.
You don't know how easy it is to get used to sin. And I'm always, I don't know why, but for some time I've been fascinated with homeless people. And yes, in other countries I spent time around them and talked to them. And I see this thing that's in California, and it's so far gone. It's so far out of hand, and you know, it's so heartbreaking. It's so heartbreaking. But I was talking to a man not long ago, and he not too long ago had a home and land and a vehicle and a job, and he had everything that every one of us have. He was just going through life day by day. And then things fell apart, and he just lived from wherever he could, just walk out in those woods and come back out in the morning and nothing, just sleep out there beside a tree or lay down in the dirt and whatever. And so he just got used to that, and people get used to it so fast. That's what I want to say. Because I'm relating to sin now. They get used to it so fast. And so I was talking to this man the other day, and he was telling me, he said that, and he's got a girlfriend, and so they go from the woods or just wherever, and he said, so they got a storage unit. How many of you know what a storage unit is? Huh? It's just a little building. It's a little metal building. It's got a door on it. There's no electricity. There's no water. There's no bathroom. There's no nothing. You just put your stuff in there that you have extra, won't fit in your house. They call it a storage unit. I mean, you pay maybe $100 a month for that. And so you can lock it and store your extra furniture and clothes, whatever you got, whatever you want to put in there. There's nothing in there. And so he got him a storage unit. This man did, who had a house and all this. And he was telling me, him for his girlfriend, he was telling me how happy he was that he got a good place for his girlfriend to stay, because he was feeling so bad that they were in the woods. And I thought, that's a pretty low standard for a man who owned a house and property and cars and had a job. And his standard lowered really, really fast. And let me tell you something. when the devil drags you down to the gutter, your standards change really, really fast. You will be amazed. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. I'm not talking about being homeless. I'm talking about going without God. I'm talking about walking away from the Word. I'm talking about trying to do something on your own to satisfy your own flesh. Don't go that way. Separate yourself from the world and the things of the world and let God lead you and guide you in all truth.
Yes, sir.
When you think you're at your end, when you think you don't know what to do or how to go, that's when God excels.
That's right.
That's when God comes on the scene.
Yes, sir.
Just think, God, look what Moses did. God let it get to the worst. And then he come on the scene. What did he do for Esther? Huh? What did he do for Rahab? What did he do for all of them? He let it come to the lowest point. Huh? But they were standing believing the Word of God. That's the difference. When you're standing on the Word, God is going to bring you out. But when you're out there in the gutter because you want to be out there in the gutter, then you're not coming out of nothing. You're just going to go right down the drain. That's right. God help us. God help us to be true to this great message that God has given us. All right, we're going to start right there. We're going to ask you to stand together with us. We do have a dinner today, and we're looking forward to that. And we were hoping Brother Chris and them would be able to come, but they were not able to come, but maybe another time. And we know they have their service, but we'd love just to have them for the fellowship, to come and fellowship with us if they can, any time that they can. And so we just praise God. So we'll ask Brother Goomba if you'll come and pray for us. And God bless you, brother.
God bless you so much.
All right. That was really good. I'm not going to take much time, but one of the things that I really felt that I would like to say, there's a quote here that I've really been saying, and Brother Don came very well on that it is very, very important. It's very, very important to make sure that you stay where you belong, especially the she talked about the young people. It's very pathetic that those people who are coming from Israel, from Egypt, going to Israel, they were children of God, and God loved them.
Yes.
And now he felt that they cannot go any further because they are going down and down and down. The only thing I can do is take them home because I've got to save them. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, God has got to save you. The problem is, if you're running away, if you want to go back to Egypt, you cannot go. God cannot allow you to go back to Egypt. He will not allow you to go back.
Amen.
The father that he's brought you, then there's something that God goes. Did you know there's a quote, Brother John, that says that God can pack you home. God, you pack you home. If you cannot, if there's nothing he can do, he pack you home.
That's right.
You're my child. You're my baby. You cannot go to hell. Then what do I do now? And you're going down and down. You want to go back to Egypt? I'm not going to allow that. I'm going to pack you home.
Yeah.
Right. That's a bit, you know, that's a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't go that way. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go that way. This is the best place you can be. God wants you. God loves you. You're a child of God. And that quote, let me just say, I know it's not, but this is like this. I've mentioned it very many times, but and I feel like what Don had just said goes together with that. It's in the book called Why Cry Speak, 1963.
Yes.
There are two Why Cries. Why Cry Speak, two of them. This one is paragraph 43, just two sentences. He says, God has got a purpose of you being here in this message.
Yes.
God has a purpose. He brought you. Are you not going to already go back to Egypt? No, you're not going back to Egypt. God has you are my child. I brought you here. You've got to stay here. Okay. Then he goes on. See, if you can only be get to that place, how much trouble, if you stay there, if you come to this place and get there, how much trouble would you save God and yourself? How much trouble do you save yourself? God will not need to whip you. Stay here. You stay here. God will not need that. You don't be whipped. You don't feel the pain of being whipped because you got to stay here. God has got to stay. You're a child of God, then you can save yourself a lot of trouble if you stay in God.
Yes.
Those desires wanting to go to Egypt, don't. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Because of your love, because you know his love, Father, as the message has gone forth today, Father, that it is by grace. And if there's anything anybody can do, Lord, then all the work that you've done for redemption and salvation is in vain. Your death is in vain. There was no need of you coming because there was something that I can do and save myself. But Lord God, there's nothing, Father, that any man can do to save themselves, Father. We realize it's thy grace, it's thy goodness, Lord. It's thy love for us, Father. And we are so happy for that, Lord God. We are so thankful this evening, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, for what you've done, Lord. And even the way you've spoken to us, Father. Thank you very much, Lord God. Be with every one of us, Father, with those who are listening in, Lord. Be with them as you be with us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen.